members, Department of Labor and AG. The meeting is opened. We will then look at the agenda of today. Zolani, go through the agenda of today.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members, and the department and the office of the AG. The agenda for today, Wednesday, 26 October 2016, is as follows. We have, firstly, the apologies, adoption of the agenda. That will be followed by our first briefing by the Department of Labor on some of the issues that are disputed or disputed facts with regards to the audit outcomes by the Auditor General. That will be followed by a response by the Auditor General on these issues, and then the committee will deliberate on the two briefings, and then there will be consideration of last week's minutes, draft minutes by the committee, and then closure. Thank you, Chair. I only have, Chair, one apology from Mr. Matisha. Thank you, Chair.
I think before I forget, members, before we, okay, let's adopt the agenda, members, or talk to the agenda. Honorable Tongwane.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the agenda.
I second that.
Thank you. The agenda of today is adopted. Before we start, I just want to welcome a new member of our portfolio committee. We had Honorable Mandasha before. She has been moved to another committee, and in her place we have Honorable Mkongi, yes, who is joining us. Honorable, you are welcome to this committee, and we hope that your presence is going to enhance our discussion and add value to the committee. With your experience that you have and been told you've been around in different committees, you are welcome. We know that this is your first meeting, but you will find your way. Thank you. Can I then, members, we know this meeting should not be long. Not that I'm saying that we should brush issues that we are interested in, but going straight to the point where there are issues need to be clarified or issues that we need to know that we are not happy with, it will assist us. We have both the Department of Labor and the AG. The AG is here, AG's office is here, because we know that in our portfolio committee, the portfolio committee before the last, where the annual reports were reported, started with the AG and then with the department. There were issues that when we engaged the department on the audit outcome that needed further clarification for us in the presence of the AG's office. We do know that when the AG presented its report as well, members had asked certain questions where there were clarities that were needed as to what does it mean. So what does it mean? You say this year, you say that there, then we are not clear. But those clarities will be done today, so that as the committee we are in a position to conclude our report. I want to put again on record that the AG is, you have not been summoned, neither the Department of Labor, because when you are summoned, we don't negotiate with you, really. We just tell you that you must be here at this time, but we negotiated from both sides. And then that's why you are here today. And we are also not questioning your findings. We know your independency, the independency of the Chapter 9 institution. We know where you report, that is the AG, in Parliament. We know who represents us. It's the Standing Committee on AG. However, here, we need that report, because when it comes to this report, we need to talk to you directly, because what you say about the department is what is going to affect our report. So we hope that the meeting is going to go smoothly as it is planned. There's nothing wrong when some people are not clarified. We don't want to assume, and we don't want to disadvantage anybody. We do know that it's not all the time. In most cases, the department will say one or two, we are not happy, but they go. But when we listened to this one, as the members of the committee, we felt it will not be proper for us to continue without putting the two offices under one roof for clarity. And from there, we'll make our own assessment. We know that the findings are there, are out there, they are public, everything is public, and this meeting as well is public, but we still need to hear the issues of clarity. DJ? Over to DJ. Oh. Yes, we'll give over to the Department of Labor to brief the committee on the issues that they are concerned with in the audit findings. And it will be only after that will then give over to the AG. The committee is not going to interrogate what the concerns, because the concerns will need to be clarified, and it will be after that we'll be in a position to clarify ourselves further. Thank you,
Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, and good morning to the honorable members as well. Excuse my voice. Chairperson, I would like to preface my input with a statement that our disagreement with AG is in no way an indication that we doubt the credibility of the work that the Auditor General is doing, and therefore we do not create an impression that we do not have a good working relationship with the Auditor General. We do. And we have constant engagement with AG on a number of issues, and where we have disagreed with them in terms of the technical interpretation of what AG says, we have raised our disagreement. So it is in this context that when they presented to the audit, to the portfolio committee, we felt that there are a number of things that we were not comfortable with. We know that in the course of expressing our disagreements, AG's views remains the ones that are reflected entirely in the management report that AG has given to the department. Nevertheless, we also of the view that we are within our rights to also express our disagreements on the issues, and maybe this kind of a discussion will help us to find a way forward in terms of how we approach these technical issues going forward. AG made a statement that the entire portfolio of the department has regressed, and we hold a different view. We're saying, yes, there are areas where we haven't done well as a department in terms of the addressing the issues that AG has raised. And in our response to AG, we indicated the reasons why we have not addressed some of these things. And most of them are issues that could not be addressed within a single financial year. Just on the issue of regression, we compared the 2014-15 financial year audit outcomes. We compared it with the 2014-15 audit outcomes. There was a regression. We accept that. But then if you compare 2014-15 and 15-16, the graph that was presented by AG to the committee actually attests to this fact that we remain static, which means that there was no movement from where we were with regards to that, with regards to some of the issues that AG has raised. I want to give an example. In 2014-15, just on the irregular expenditure, the irregular expenditure of the department sat at just over 400 million. And in the 2015-16 financial year, that irregular expenditure dropped by 69% to just over 130 million. Now, we see that as a significant improvement. We know that we shouldn't have a regular expenditure, but moving from just over 400 to 139, to us, does not translate into a regression. And secondly, on the performance information, in 2014-15, AG gave us a disclaimer on a number of areas with regards to performance information. And if you compare, if you look at the management report that we got from AG, again, there's an indication that we have improved to a point that in certain areas where we had a disclaimer, we've moved from a disclaimer to a qualification. Now, again, that to me says there's progress, there's no regression. We do accept the fact that if you compare 2014-15 and 2015-16, if you look at the portfolio itself, there were two entities that did not reflect any regular expenditure in the 2014-15 financial year. In this year, in the 2015-16, they now reflect that there's an irregular expenditure. However, the total percentage in value, the absolute value, I mean the total amount in absolute value has gone down drastically
That's why I spoke about the 69%, even with the two entities that are now reflecting any regular expenditure. The third point, Chair, that AG spoke about with regards to the issues at the compensation fund relates to the electronic documents that that were availed to AG but not accepted. The commissioner would testify that the AG wanted information that was made available to them, albeit electronically. And they wanted copies, and therefore could not accept the electronic version of the documents. The compensation fund commissioner is sitting right next to me. He will make his inputs on this matter. The other point, Chair, that I would like to make is that AG made a recommendation to the committee that the compensation fund has to develop a turnaround strategy. Now, the compensation fund has a turnaround strategy, which was presented to the committee, and the compensation fund reports progress with regards to its implementation on a quarterly basis. And the committee has, after we've made a presentation, indicated to us that they would like to have those reports as well on a quarterly basis, which we have obliged, as we do with SCOPA. So we have discussed this issue at length with AG, and I just find it very ironic that AG would then turn around and make this recommendation to the committee, knowing very well that this is something that we're already doing, and we have taken them through this process. So we have put in place quality assurance structures, both nationally in the department and also provincially, just to make sure that whatever we do is quality assured. Again, Chair, the AG made a statement that the compensation fund does not respond to findings, and the compensation fund holds a different view. AG issued a management report which is summarized as follows. The number of findings issued were 141, and findings that CF responded to 141, and HSA conclusions is 140, and no responses from the compensation fund is zero. So that's why compensation fund holds a different view, that they submitted the information that AG wanted from them, and this is the information that I'm reading is gleaned from the report that AG, management report that AG submitted to the compensation fund. In the management report, the AG said in the presentation they made to the committee that the compensation fund does not respond to findings. Right. Now, I'm referring to a table which is contained in the AG report that they in the management report that they submitted to the fund, which indicates the number of findings that number of issues that the compensation fund had to respond to and the number that they've responded to, which from the compensation fund side reflects that there is nothing that they have not responded to. So they have responded. It may just be that there's a difference of opinion in terms of the responses themselves. We would like to say, Chair, that even though the compensation fund received a disclaimer, which we accept, we, however, hold the view that there's been an improvement in the audit findings of the compensation fund, even though they don't reflect that materially. Those improvements materially could not translate to either an unqualified audit or a qualification. But I think there's a significant improvement. And in the report submitted by AG, AG acknowledges that because of the internal controls that the compensation fund has put in place, the compensation fund is now financially in a healthy position. So there's acknowledgement of the work that the fund is doing. Albeit, there are a number of issues that they have to attend. Those we accept. AG made an issue with regards to the irregular expenditure, Chairperson, and I've already alluded to this point that we hold a different view that we have significantly addressed this. But I do want to indicate the steps that we take to address some of these things, because in the report, an impression is created that there's nothing that we do as a department to address fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I want to state it clearly, Chairperson, that we take these things very seriously. In each and every performance agreement of the senior managers in the department, we have included an indicator that talks to managing risk, because this is a risk. We've included an indicator that talks to that, but most importantly, in the strategic plan and the APP of the Department of Labor, we've included an indicator that says we do not want to have irregular expenditure. There must be 100% compliance with supply chain related matters. If I were to talk to the compensation fund directly, they have established a financial misconduct advisory committee, which is tasked with overseeing the preliminary investigations into allegations of financial misconduct to determine whether there has been a case of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And to date, which confirms the report that is that was provided by AG. To date, a total of 130 cases are recorded in the financial misconduct register. And 7 of those cases were investigated and recommendations made on corrective action. Now, this clearly demonstrates that whenever we've picked up these issues, cases are investigated. And we're not saying every case is investigated in a financial year. That's impossible. Given the resources that we have at our disposal, but there is commitment that all cases will be investigated, and that's why these cases are recorded in the register. And one of the things that we pride ourselves with is that we are able to detect these things. In the past, because of the weak internal controls, we were unable to detect fraud. Either in the compensation fund or in the department in general, but now we are. And as a result of that, there's been an increase in the number of cases that have been reported. And people have they've also an avenue to report fraud and corruption charges cases through the fraud and the fraud line. So if you want to remain anonymous, you are able to do so, and cases are investigated as and when. So this the impression again created that we're very tolerant of corruption and fraud. I think it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, knowing very well that we do a lot in the department to see to it that these things are dealt with, and consequences have been, or consequential management has been implemented in the department, and we have proof of that. There's one area, Chair, that we disagree with AG with regards to, and this covers both the compensation fund and unemployment insurance fund. The AG says bids were not advertised in some areas. And if I want to, sorry, Chair, I want to just zoom on the, again, on the compensation fund. Bids were advertised with a supply chain management guide for accounting officers and authorities issued in February of 2004, whereby a panel of consultants can be appointed through a competitive bidding process. This guide has never been replaced nor regarded as not applicable since its issuance. Despite providing AG with this information, the findings still remained. The AG recommended that we add these amounts as irregular expenditure. The compensation fund believes that the AG should not have raised the finding nor included in the audit report, as these services were advertised and the process followed was competitive. And we've got copies of the tenders that were sent out. This is the intention of this was to implement what is called a body shop, where you have service providers that whenever you have an issue that you want to be dealt with, once you've concluded the tender process, you have these service providers there. When you want to use their services, you go to them on a quotation basis. And that's allowed in the in terms of the Treasury regulations. So the compensation fund has complied with that. Yet AG says this is irregular and therefore they have not followed a proper supply chain process, and therefore those transactions are classified as irregular transactions. So we hold a different view, but the finding remains in the management letter. Chair, on the consequence management, the impression is created that we tolerate poor performance in the department and therefore there are no consequences, either for poor performance or fraud or corruption. And again, we've provided this information to AG. I mean, I remember vividly a discussion I had with AG on the steps that we're taking to deal with fraud and corruption and irregular expenditure. When I gave them a letter, I says this is proof that we deal with irregular expenditure. Now, to then make a sweeping statement that says we don't deal with that, I think that's what leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Here we're indicating that there are currently 110 cases that are being investigated by risk management unit. So there are cases that we know that are being investigated, and some have been referred to the SAPS for further investigation, because once fraud is detected, cases have to be referred to SAPS for investigation. And we have proof of court cases that are currently running of people that we've referred to court, and the amount that they that is associated with the crime that they have allegedly been, that they've allegedly committed. The last point, Chair, which we seem to have we seem to hold a very different view with 18, is on their great concerns and again the recommendations. Our view is that, Chair, and the honourable members, that if you've done an audit and you've made the recommendations, your recommendations have to be linked to the findings in the report. If they are not linked in the to the findings in the report, you're making a general statement. And AG has made a general statement in a number of areas here. And one of those general statements is that there is no political will in the department to deal with issues. And the second statement that they've made is that there's pervasive culture of performance fraud and corruption in there's pervasive culture of poor performance, fraud and corruption in the department, and that we're not doing anything about it. There's no urgency in correcting the environment, like I said earlier on, due to lack of political will to deal with fraud and corruption, creating comfort to pursue self-interest. The third statement that they're making is that there's possible depletion of reserves based on current spending trends, and yet there was an explanation given to AG as to why the current spending trends are as reflected in the financial statements of the compensation fund, and what were the compelling reasons for such a spending. So, Chair, those are our concerns as a department. I would like, again, to reiterate the point I made earlier on that we view the work of the AG as very important. We just have disagreements with AG, and I guess it's in the nature of the work that people will not agree on things, and that should not be viewed as a fight between the department and AG. We're not fighting, and I'm sure you've seen that we're smiling at each other even now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Do you need, when DG was talking, he referred to the commissioner to have proof of certain material. I don't know if you don't need the commissioner to go through the proof or you would want to respond. With direction from your AG's office.
Chair, I'll just hand over to Bruce Masibi. He's the corporate executive from the Auditor General's office, and he's joining us today. So I'll just hand over to him to respond.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members of the committee. Thanks for the opportunity. Let me address the concerns that were highlighted by the DG. Maybe let me kick off by saying the areas that we cover in any regularity audit, we look at three issues mainly. That would be your financial statements reporting. We look at compliance risk or matters associated with key legislations That applies to the entities we audit or departments. Then we also look at the quality of reliability of performance information reported by departments and entities. So our evaluation, whether we're saying the portfolio regressed compared to last year or even a three-year view, it's premised on our evaluation of the audit around those three areas. Specifically, we look at the quality of financial statements that are submitted, the extent of misstatements that gets to be corrected by management as a result of our audit. We also look at the quality of performance information, as alluded to earlier. You find cases where we are given a performance report to audit, but only to find that there's misstatements that needs to be corrected in the report on the basis of the information that supports those reports. We also make an evaluation of the entire internal control and risk management process of the departments and entities that we audit, because that is key. If the internal control environment is robust and supportive and enable management to take corrective action and pick up exceptions in the environment, that's where we basically say we are comfortable, or we highlight the risks as we evaluate them in those different environments. So our assessment, that basically says the portfolio has regressed. It's premised on those evaluation of those areas that I've mentioned. Yes, DG may have a view that based on the actions that they've taken as a department to correct these issues, there are improvements. Yes, we've appreciated certain shifts and improvements in certain areas, but this is an overall assessment where we say, in the light of the areas that I've highlighted, there's a regression in the performance of the entire portfolio. And to give context to the root causes we even reported in the last session, we said what informs these findings is the slow response by management. And that typically doesn't mean management is not doing anything. But we are just saying, based on our assessment, since we audit the environment over the years, the response is typically slow from management as far as the speed at which the audit findings that we raise are dealt with. So, yes, we appreciate management is making an effort in dealing with the issues, but however, we are not saying nothing is being done around the audit findings. But we have highlighted slow response as one of the root causes that is informing these findings. And again, I wouldn't like to get to the details around specific contracts that we audit. As DG has mentioned the fact that there's a contract where bids were advertised, but our view is different. I think the team is here to support me if there would be a need to get to the detail of the actual findings that we have raised to management. Maybe let me talk to the impression that may be created as a result of our finding, where we say there's a culture of poor performance, corruption, as well as fraud. I think the context around these issues, once more, is premised on our evaluation over the years. And I'd like to talk to compensation funds specifically, where we've been auditing an environment where it's been disclaimed for the last 4 years. We've had engagement with management, audit committees, all the assurance players, minister as well, to say that there's a risk associated with any environment where an auditor would come in trying to sign off the set of accounts, but you don't get adequate documentation that will satisfy you to sign off on those financial statements. So it's a risk relating to the internal control environment. It's a risk associated with not being in a position to provide an independent assurance as an auditor
to the set of accounts that we get to audit. And we are also highlighting the risk that may hurt compensation fund going forward to say, in our experience, in such environments, there's an opportunity where you can have fraudulent activities, you can have corruption, because the audit itself, as an assurance mechanism, cannot really get a system where we can get supporting documentation that gets to be submitted by management and the team that is involved in the audit. So basically we're saying we're concerned with the internal control environment. We're concerned with the slow response of management in dealing with these issues because even for 2015-16, compensation fund was still disclaimed. And I don't think it's on the basis of the electronic information that the DG has indicated, because it's the number of account balances that we audit. And once more, to give context to this risk associated with fraud, we do speak openly with management around investigations that have been sanctioned in the environment. And the context around those investigations is that employees of compensation fund are involved together with the medical practitioners around this alleged fraudulent activities that happens in the environment. So our assertions were mainly saying in the light of the slow response and the weaker internal control environment, there's a risk that even the reserves in the compensation fund may be depleted due to the lack of internal control that supports accountability and transparency around the activities of a compensation fund. Lack of political will, it's covered in one of the slides that we presented where, as part of our visibility program, we speak to management, we speak to audit committees, we speak to the executive leadership minister, we speak to the portfolio committee, because one of our mandates is to promote accountability, where we provide assurance on the set of financials we audit. We also have to provide enable oversight by really engaging portfolio committees so that we give context to what our reports entail and what they mean. So in one of the issues we raised around the state of commitments, we mentioned the fact that there need to be an increased oversight by the executive on the issues that we've been surfacing around the portfolio, compensation fund particularly, and other issues that I've mentioned. So the word political, yes, it might be interpreted to say political at a different level, but we are looking at the executive in the form of minister, where we have these engagements around the concerns we raise, and basically the context is coming from that perspective. So I think the context I was trying to provide is that the self-interest issue that DG was alluding to, it's part of our audit process where we look at conflict of interest in terms of SCM processes, bids that are being issued. And again, once more, the investigations that I've alluded to, it involves officials and basically service providers that support the activities of the compensation fund. In terms of agents in correcting the environment, I think I've spoken to this issue to say our assessment over the years is that we are seeing slow response by management in dealing with these issues that we've been surfacing. Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure. I just hope I've covered all the concerns that were raised. Thank you.
Members, thank you, AG. Members, there are a number of issues that have been raised by by the DG in relation to their dissatisfaction. But then the AG has told us what is that they look at in terms of how they do their work, and thus the outcomes are in that order. It's over to you. I don't see this hand. Okay. Honorable Loliwe. After Honorable Loliwe, Honorable Bachrein.
Thanks, Chair. Let me welcome both presentations and really appreciate that they are an eye-opener to me, especially that I may not have been part of the initial presentations. But I have two clarities that I need to seek from the AG's response. At what stage do they draft and, in fact, do they finalize their report? Because the response from the AG alludes to the fact that there's no response by management on issues that are being raised. Then to me, it indicates that there is a response. Are they drafting and finalizing their report before their responses come, or what is their status? Again, compensation fund, they said they've benchmarked their findings on what has been happening in previous years, and that led to them recommending what is already in place. Because the turnaround strategy they are recommending is what is actually taking place, which has seen to the improvements, slight as it is. So what difference will then make if they say do the same thing instead of appreciating what is actually happening, to say we are saying that now that I'm not in any way directing them on the approach, but let them school me. Why wouldn't they at least recognize that the turnaround strategy has made this mini change in compensation fund, but instead talk to the same thing, which is saying come up with a turnaround strategy? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Bachrein.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you once again for this opportunity to hear the two departments discuss with each other. In reality, what I'm hearing from the Department of Labor is they're not challenging the veracity of the report in any way. They're not challenging the Attorney General's report, Auditor General's report in its essence. They are challenging one or two of the interpretations and the gloss that is put on it. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that, yes, they're still in the doldrums, but they're coming out of it, and that hasn't been recognized by the auditor. They're also saying that they are taking action and running court cases and suspension and whatever, disciplinary, but the findings are correct in any event, but it's not recognized that they've made some movements. And I hear also from the department that they are making headway into the cases. They're not quite there, so once again, you haven't challenged what the Auditor General is saying, but you are saying that it hasn't been recognized that you have movement, incremental movement, but there is that movement. And I think we as a committee will recognize that there's been incremental movement in any event. Also, you're saying that the auditor's not looking into the fact that there is, in fact, political will to make things happening, make it happen, but obviously you're not quite there. I think the Auditor General is probably correct in reporting that you still need to move in long strides. And I don't think that's bad in the sense that this has been 20 years in the making, and for you to sort it out in 1 year is not going to be easy. So we're not pointing fingers at the Department of Labor, because I think everyone recognizes that they are making those incremental baby steps, yes, but we're getting there. And But for the Auditor General to report anything else would be folly, because you're still in that situation. And again, you say there's compelling reasons for the depletion of your reserves. I don't think that changes the Auditor General's report. You're saying that there should be that added to it, possibly as a gloss, and that you do have the reasons that there are depletion, but you have the reasons for it. From what I hear from the Auditor General is that there are three issues they look at, and in terms of those three issues, they stand by their report. And I don't think we can in any way have a fight with them standing by their reports. Maybe there should be a lot more work beforehand, before it gets to our committee, so that there's more cooperation between the two of you, so that it doesn't come to a meeting of this nature, because it is a little bit embarrassing for us sitting on the committee, and possibly for the public, and there should be more cooperation between the two of you. And it's just my opinion, certainly not the committee's opinion, but my opinion is this should be thrashed out long before it reaches us, in the sense that these reports need more interaction and more cooperation. Because I can't see what's happened here today, I can't see anything wrong with either side, and what either the Department of Labor is saying, or in fact what the Auditor General is saying. The paperwork should remain in place, but we should also understand that you have made enormous strides in making things better for the future, because that's the reality. I think the Auditor General is there to ensure that we're going in the right direction, and maybe a bit too slowly, but we are going in that right direction. And I think as a committee we have agreed with you in the past, when you've given report backs from the department, that we are taking those steps in that direction. Of course, to the public, when you've still got, I think it's 170,000 cases outstanding,
take your tapes away if they are going to disturb our meeting. I will not allow them. If they will disturb the meeting, please operate them with care.
May I continue, Madam Chair?
Yes. Are you done now?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just in terms of where we're going in terms of the public and our oversight function as a committee, we need to be aware, we need to be ensured that we report back to both obviously to the Parliament and to the public, that there are still problems and that we haven't come out of that problem area, but we are assured that we are starting to step in that right direction. And I think that's what we're here to do, and I think that's we're recognizing that, and it's good that we have the Auditor General's function to put us back into reality every now and again to tell us, hold on a minute, we know you might be going in the right direction, but there are still major problems over here, and I think you recognize that, DG, as well. So thank you, Madam Chair, for allowing me that.
Thank you, Honorable Bachlin. Honorable Shawama.
Thank you.
I've noted the other hands.
Okay. May I proceed, Chair? Thank you, Chair. Chair, I must just applaud the Auditor General by being brave and doing and carrying their constitutional mandate. I don't want to. What I see here is that the Labor Department, through the Director General, is only applying semantics, trying to use different words to justify what he's not actually challenging the facts. And it bothers me to have a department that is trying to defend its case from moving from $400 million to $130 million. What progress is that? What we need is a department that every single cent that is there to serve our people is used accordingly to its own purpose. You know, the Labor Department, to my view, when I look at this two different sides, has been turned into a looting machine. And I don't think the Auditor General can go to the extent of saying the bidding process, there is a conflict of interest, unless told otherwise without proper information. And I want to say also, we are all audited, even political parties. The slow response of questions required by the Auditor General. Sometimes it shows a department that is trying to cook reports, that is trying to sanitize, to manufacture documents. We know they waste their time so that they manufacture documents. And you know, I don't know, you know, this thing is very, very bad to our country. I'm happy the Auditor General, I want to phrase this way, they can cooperate, but they shouldn't make friendship. Because what we need is an Auditor General who will make sure that these departments serve our people. And then I really wish in the future when the Auditor General comes here, he must stop using a better taste in his mouth. He must say, when there's something wrong, then you see, we are not here for him to have a good taste in his mouth. All we want is that as an auditor, I mean as a director general, no single cent should be used to benefit even officials who are getting salaries from our own taxes. You know, I would have been happier if they were here saying we have not even lost a single cent. No, they are not saying that. They acknowledge. His defense mainly, he says, there are cases still pending. I really wish if he responds back, he tells us how many are convicted and what is the figure amount which was either recovered from those fraudulent activities. Because we know these bureaucracy strategies. They are all self-defeating. They are not saving our people. Our money is misused. When it comes to the minister, if you have a department that has been going through disclaimer for 4 years, I don't even know how do you raise your head with pride. Because it's a disaster. It's just looting. I want these cases. I don't want, you see, through you, Chairperson, in the future we should not have this generalization. Because, you know, people are just hiding behind, we have 100 cases. We know people waste our time sooner or later. The same people who are stealing the money, the cases are dropped. The committee, I will recommend when we have our own meeting, that the committee must make sure that the Auditor General must continue with his work, and then he must stick his feet on the ground and protect the money that deserves to serve our people. The Labor Department is here just to apply semantics, to use different words, but they are not challenging on a factual basis what the Auditor General has said. And you can't justify, really, if the Auditor General writes you a letter, or because it happens to all of us, and say, provide me evidence, provide me information. You take, I don't know how long, you take one week, or I mean you take 1 month, or you take 2 months. If that information is already there, do you have to apply to give it to the auditor? Rather than to say you are trying to hide an obvious information, or you don't have it at all. This department, Chairperson, is a looting machine. And the auditor must stand with this report. If they want to go, let them go to court. And then we are not doing this for anybody. We are doing it for our people. Thank you, Chair.
We are not in a rally here. We are in a committee and we are dealing with facts. We want facts from the department and we have asked the Auditor General to provide us. They are waiting. No, I'm still on the floor.
I just want to make
No, I allowed you to finish. You are going to allow me to finish.
Okay.
You are not going to hear me talk as if you are talking in a rally. I never heard anything from the Auditor General in their outcome that talks about the looting machine. Neither have I heard it from the department. If you know you want to bring in that the department is a looting machine, take us through and use what we are talking about, link it to what we are talking about today. If you have other facts that we don't know that the department is a looting machine, or the department, there are cases where you know that they are dropped, people have stolen money, we are your colleagues. Take us through. Because now you are on your own. We don't know what you are talking about. It's not related to what you are talking. If it's related, please link. That's why I'm saying it's not a political rally. Don't just talk, but link whatever what we are saying to what is on the table. And that will help us, not general. Because I wouldn't want people to leave out of this committee and feel insulted, and the chairperson is not protecting them. Honourable Tloama.
Thank you, Chair. You see, Honourable Chair, for the first time since you saw me, I've never had an engagement with you. But I'm very, very worried with you when you make an example that is not a rally. I don't know what qualifies you to qualify my words. If a department comes here, they can't explain some of the questions that the Auditor General required clarity from. I have the right. It's not unlawful language to say money has been used or is not used in the right way. And then the figure of speech is allowed. I'm a member of parliament, I represent. And if you want me to go through what the Auditor General has just told us, which
Auditor,
you never, what you never, what you have never, you have never called the Auditor
Auditor
General in order.
Okay.
I can go through.
No, wait, just as order. Honorable Tloama, the language that you are using now is acceptable. We are not here in parliament. It's not a national assembly. Here we are dealing with the department, with the officials. And the language that you use to me, it should be different to the language that you use to the public. And if you want to use that language of looting machine, I'm not stopping you to do it, but I'm saying don't talk in general. Align it with what is being said. Don't howl at me. Align it with what is being said. Honorable Olio, wait. I did not give you the right to talk.
Yeah,
I've given... No, the other members, yes.
Yeah,
no. Honorable Olio.
You
must lift up your hand, then I will appoint you.
Okay,
I will point you. Honorable
Loliwa,
yes, you can raise your hand.
Okay,
Honorable Loliwa.
Chair, I want to make an appeal to those who, unfortunately, like me, were not part of the meeting when the initial presentations were made, that were not part of the meeting, because this is a follow-up meeting to what was presented initially. It is because there were some queries, if the committee members can remember what we debated last week. Let us reserve any other thing which does not concern this particular matter that we are discussing today, not to derail us, because we are focusing on a specific area. And I want to appeal to the dialogue between the two members that let it not be there. Honorable Tloama, you may have your dissatisfactions, but let us not make this a battleground so that there's that dialogue between yourself and the chair. Allow us all as committee members to participate in this debate, but what we don't want to be dragged in is to be dragged in the mud where we are being derailed from the original focus of the meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Lolo. Honorable, on this issue, now we're still on this issue, okay.
Actually, Chairperson, I've been fully covered by Honorable Oliway, because my concern was that there has been extensive engagement in the previous meeting. We raised our concerns to the Office of the AG, and as I can recall correctly, the chairperson gave the opportunity to the Office of the AG to stay behind when the entities and the department will present, in order to answer to some clarity-seeking questions, but the opportunity was not taken by the Office of the AG. Hence, we are sitting here today. And we've had our concerns raised in terms of the presentation that was made by the AG office and the briefing notes. And it was later also concerns by the entities and the, especially the UIF Compensation Fund, as well as the Department of Labor. And my observation was that we really need this engagement to clarify us fully in terms of moving forward, but not that we actually disputing the outcomes of the AG's report. We don't want to ask them to go and change it, because it's not possible. But in order to move forward, we need to go back and get some clarifications on certain issues that wasn't it agreed upon. That's why I thought this meeting would be appropriate, but we don't want this meeting to divert us from the actual reasons why we are here today, including one of the concerns that I specifically as a member raised was that when we engaged the AG's presentation, we raised the issue or the clarification-seeking question of, whilst there were issues that they raised as concerns that they raised in their findings and recommendations, didn't they pick it up throughout the financial year with engagements with the department and the entities? And it was rightfully clarified by the AG's office that they have continuous engagements. Hence the question arises that they should tell us whether the department and the entities are defying the recommendations that they are making throughout. And I don't recall we received an outright response on that question. Hence, I want to go back to that question, asking the Office of the AG to clarify to us in terms of all those issues, because you are mentioning that some of the issues, statements you are basing, based on the past financial year's performance. So it would come back to me, when you are starting, when you are having your previous year's outcome, then you, I assume you would have some, by some intervals, whether quarterly or somehow, you would have engagements with the department and its entities to trying to clear up and see if there's an improvement, not to go to the very last point of the actual audit outcome report and then trying to engage the department. So I will stick to that question, Chairperson.
May I raise order, Chair? I want to raise
order.
Yes, Chair. Okay. Thank you very much. It's just that I do not want to disturb Honorable Loliwa. I'm raising this point of
order.
I'm raising this point of order with respect to you. Firstly, Chair, I think it's on. No, the order that I want to raise, Chair, is on you with regard to the rules that are applicable to this committee. There is no provision that says the rules of parliament that we use in parliament changes when we come to the committees of parliament, because that will border to inconsistency. And I want to urge you that any rule that remains applicable to our parliamentary duties in parliament, it remains applicable to this committee, not unless I am appraised otherwise by the rule. And I wish to request you that whenever you make a statement which pertains to the applicability of rules of parliament, perhaps you'll have to appraise us with the rules, so that we don't find ourselves bullied or being treated otherwise, either for one or two reasons. Because we have no responsibility here to impress the department or anyone for that matter when it comes to our right to apply the rules. That's number one. And further, I wish to request you to withdraw the wording we have used to Honorable Khwama, that he must never assume that we are in a rally here. I want to put it to you, that is an insult. And it threatens me because I don't know when I have to speak my mind, exercising the freedom of speech, whether I will not be coded as if I am speaking in a rally. And I want to request you with respect that you withdraw that statement. And lastly, you see, when the Auditor General makes a finding with regards to funds that are unaccountable, if those funds are unaccountable as per the opinion of the Auditor General, it remains a speculation. It remains a speculation to the public in terms of what has those funds been used for. Because all of us, we rely to the authority of the Auditor General.
But are you still on the point of order?
No, it's a point of order. Because, yes, the point of order that I'm raising is that the wording that was used by Honorable Khwama...
No, we've heard that one.
Okay, yes, the point of order is that the issue about looting is an open interpretation of how the funds could be, because we don't know how they've been used. It's a speculation. So there is nothing wrong for him to deduce that to his own interpretation. Whether he decides to say it's looting or he decides to say that it's funds that are unaccountable, it remains the same thing. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. When Honorable Khawula was speaking, at the tail end, he contradicted himself because he agreed that these are speculations. There's no evidence to that effect. Then why then want us to be led on speculations? Thank you.
Honorable Khawula, you did not listen to me carefully. However, if you feel that I must withdraw on saying this is not a rally, I withdraw. And I'll come back. I will look at that and then I'll come back. But for now, let me withdraw for the meeting to continue. Now, what you are not addressing is that Honorable Khawula is not talking to the issue. If he talks to the issue, what I said is that if he talks about looting machines, he must elaborate so that we understand. I don't know what he means, because here we are talking about irregular expenditure and we are talking about fraud cases. So that looting machine, where does it come? And he must explain himself, because if you are going to just throw words, the department is a looting machine. The department is not a department. Department is department because it's composed of people. And people need to be told, you are looting machines because of ABC. But that ABC must be on what we are discussing. Remember that this meeting is not for us. We had an opportunity as the committee to raise these issues that we're raising. This meeting is for us to assess the way forward on issues that were of concern from the department. We all agreed that they must come, and they are here. And then my worry is to use now to derail this meeting and want to interrogate issues that either from the department or from the Auditor General that are out of the table and that we cannot elaborate. When you want to use the word and just elaborate. Say, this is you are looting machine money, and then from what we have said, DG, you can't defend yourself because of ABCD. That's what we need. We don't want you to just talk, because, you know, when you just talk and not deal with the issue, we'll sit here the whole day. So the issues must be directed to what is on the table. Honorable, I've noted all the hands. Honorable Mkongi?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I like Chairperson when I'm baptized by fire or with fire. You know, it makes me to really understand that I'm in a meeting of the higher detachment of the leadership of the Republic. And whatever we do here and say reflects on the quality of that detachment. Because a person, we are dealing with human beings, which we must show what we call when I was still at Peninsula Technical, mutual respect. Because if we don't do it here, on the ground in our schools, we won't find the relationship that is mutual and respected between the teacher and the learner. So I think I just want us to go there and treat this meeting in that particular spirit of constructive engagement. Because both of these departments are our own departments. And if we want to provide solutions, let's do that. For an example, there are issues that are very technical and important that we must engage as members of parliament to say that if you talk about the slow pace of information, does that mean that there is a treasury regulation regression or transgression? So we need to be clear on that. And then what are those areas in the treasury regulation that underpins that matter as one of the fundamentals? Because as you report here, both the department, I'm reading what is the role of the Auditor General in South Africa in relation to its mandate to the departments. And these reports, both of them, there is no fundamental contradiction. But the contestation is on the matter of the slow pace of submitting information. And if that is at the slow pace of submitting information, is that a fundamental transgression of the Treasury regulations? And if that is not the case, therefore that necessarily means that when we close all the reports, they must reflect such a matter as a fundamental matter. Because both reports, they are talking about the progress that has been made by the department, both AG and the department, that the progress has been made, but we are very concerned about the slow pace of submitting this information, because this slow pace of submitting this information makes us to be unable to take some of the important financial decisions. Because I read, in terms of your mandate, is the financial statement of the department, for an example, not trusted or not in line with the fundamental frameworks and the mandate of the department? Two, is the compliance risk in a risk? Four, is the quality of the reliability of the report in question? And is accountability in jeopardy? This makes us and the portfolio committee meeting, when we recommend through our PRRR, we understand exactly what is the AG recommendation, and then we can intervene as a committee. So I thought this is the spirit of the meeting. You know, I didn't know that this meeting is a meeting of contestation, you know, and so forth. And when the DG reported and the AG reported, I found that spirit of mutual respect. And I would request that we engage this report. We don't engage to come with new things here. We engage the report. The report is clear, both of them. You see, improvement of internal controls and environment. We agree in terms of performance report and misstatement. Because I want to understand, what are those misstatements? Because you must be clear, for me as a member of parliament, I must be able to articulate in my constituents that these are the misstatements that I am talking about. Because if you are going to just a misstatement and then you do not explain in detail that what are those misstatements, you are confusing me as a member of parliament. It's going to be difficult for me to take a decision here around the particular, around the report. So this is the spirit that I would like us to conduct this meeting, Chairperson. And because we are building institutions here. It is only 22 years that we're building these institutions. And these mistakes are still going to continue up until we become a mature democracy. And I don't think that in the process of building institutions, we need to guillotine each other. We need to fight each other in the way. I think that is the role of the AG in this sense, in relation to the role what the departments must do. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mukongi. I've noted you, Honorable Ollis. I've noted your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. I mean, I think the point in terms of our way forward is that we each just make our comments on what we've heard on the two views this morning, and then we move on. I mean, there's no, as I said last week, there's no point us trying to reconcile two reports. They're reports. They're published. They're done. We move on. We just make comments on things we would like to see improved, and we move on. I don't know why there's been such a big fuss. But when you do raise things, I mean, then we get to comment, and I have two comments from my side, and then I'm also done. And my comments are in terms of political will. DG, you were not happy with that comment. Well, just remember that that comment refers also to the minister, specifically, in fact. It even lists, we as the DG had a meeting with the minister, and we're unhappy about the progress of the issues we raised with the minister. Well, I mean, I know you don't like that as the department, but tough. I've been in this committee for off and on nearly 9 years, and since the minister arrived 6 years ago, the first year, I complimented her, congratulated her, wished her well. From the second year until now, I've said every year that I don't think there's the political will from the minister's office to do certain things. I'm not going to list them all now. We've all heard them. You've heard them. We've been through this for year after year after year. You know what they are. You know what my opinion is. But tough. I mean, Auditor General now says something which I've also said. I know the department doesn't like it. Tough. We disagree, you know. So let's just agree we disagree and move on. In terms of some of the things that are of concern, I mean, you didn't like the fact that it's that the AG says some things have regressed. I'll give you an example. The previous financial report and annual report of the department said that you achieved 50% of your targets with a computer system and ITC. This year, your report, not the DG, your report says that you've achieved 0%. Now, I mean, that's not somebody being nasty to the department. That's just the facts. The targets were X. We didn't set the target. You set the targets. And 0% of the ICT targets were achieved. It's in your annual report. It's a regression. I mean, it's just a fact. It's not the AG being nasty or you know, being nasty about your own department. It's just a fact. It's there. It's in the report. We're concerned about that, and we've made comments about that as a committee before. We've spoken about various offices of the Department of Labor where too many documents are still lying in corners, where the scanning system's not yet working, where the UIF system, sometimes the computer's off 2 days a week. I've raised that in the committee. I mean, it's not news. It's not a debate. We don't need to have a debate about these things. We've said it's an area of concern. We think it needs to be improved, and we want to see improvement. And this year the report says it hasn't improved. In fact, it went backwards. It's not being nasty. It's just, you know, there in the targets for the year, and the report says you didn't achieve the targets. It's just a fact. So I think we just need to move on, you know, today. There was one other comment I wanted to make, just in terms of the expectation by some members of this committee that the Auditor General Chair is supposed to sort of harass the department until they comply, or warn them sort of every quarter, give them sort of a serious warning that they're going to get. But I mean, that's not their job. Their job is just to say quarterly, here's what we found, here's what we think. If the department doesn't respond, it's not the job of the Auditor General to be mommy. You know, my mom phones me and tells me I've been naughty, but it's not the Auditor General's job. They must just report, and the department must respond, and then there are findings. They're not going to phone up and say, mommy says you've been naughty, when I must fix the report. It's not their job. They just report, and the department then responds with documents or tries to fix the issue. They're not going to come every quarter and say, ah, mommy says you've been naughty, you must now quickly run around and fix this thing. It's not their job. It's not the Auditor General's job. Those are my comments, and I think once everybody's made their comments, Chair, we should move on and we write our own report. I don't think there's more we can do as a committee.
Okay, Honorable Ollis, let me take all the new hands. Your hand is noted. You have spoken. I want the new, there's a new hand there. Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is perhaps just a simple question. The DG made mention of the fact that the Auditor General does not accept electronic documents. I just wanted to find out as to whether there are reasons for not doing that. And if at all there are reasons, what then do you think should be done for the for compensation fund to rectify that? Thank you. Oklahoma?
No, Chair, I'm covered.
Thank you. You know what I would, I've explained reasons why you are here from the beginning. And I want to repeat that we are not questioning the Auditor General. However, we have a responsibility to write a report. And the reports that we write are public. When there is disagreement, which is not one, we have a responsibility to check. And this is what we are doing. It's not changing your report, we have said it. However, we are members of parliament who are here. That member has said it. Put here in parliament by constituencies, and really some of us have constituencies. We do go to constituencies, and they ask questions, and you must answer to those questions. And when we, it's not clever, it's not being clever for a member of parliament when they don't understand even the jargon that is used and pretend to understand because you want to be cool. My daughter will say that, but I'm from the old age, old school. I will say one, to be clever. Now, my clarity is, for me, I think that to, for both parties to live here as members of parliament and not being seen biased, but treated everybody equal, because we have no reason to want to be nice to any of the two. You are all equal in front of our eyes. And where we have to ask questions, we'll ask questions. That's not our responsibility. So when we need to ask questions, we'll ask questions. Now, for me, Mr. Msibi, you've cited three issues that you look at. Remember, when the DG concluded speaking, I've asked if you want them to, you know, the word is gone. To back up what DG is saying. Now, maybe for, we've passed that one, maybe for both parties to leave this room on an equal understanding and for us as well to be in a position to draft our report. On the issues that have been raised, Mr. Msibi, for instance, there's an issue of the advert, and my colleague has spoken to it. Honorable Kloama has spoken to that. My apologies about bidding. What I want to ask is that, for instance, if what we usually do, we ask the department to answer on each and every finding, to answer and then to tell us, how are they going to rectify that? That's what we do. And they will do that in writing, tell us, where did you go wrong? How are you going to rectify it? But in this case, we will have challenges if we leave this meeting not clarified. All I ask from Mr. Msibi is for him to, or the office, to just relate to these three issues on the findings that have been raised, so that we are all on the same level. I don't want any party to leave this room and at the end of the day feeling that they have wasted their funds to come here, because the chairperson was just one-sided. We raised the issues and the chairperson did not deal, or the committee did not deal with the issues. If you can just raise, because the issue, for instance, of the adverts, it will be important for us to know, to say, no, that's not the contract that you are referring to. Even if you don't go into details, these are the contracts that you are referring to, that we have judged you on in our, so that, because from where we are seated, they are fine, and it's like they have been wrongly, you know. We know it's your right, but also let's take us through so that we understand, and then when they have to reply to us, we know exactly what the AG have said. They don't respond in the same manner that they are responding here. Because if we give them that opportunity, they might come up with the same thing and said, we said this. But if at least we are clarified, no, that's not what, that one is clear. We are, this is what we are talking about. And when we are talking about irregular expenses, we are saying you have not progressed. This is what we mean. At least, and use those three issues that you are talking about, that you have used as you were writing the opinion, so that everybody is understanding. We are in a position where we are difficult. Yes, the report is there, but we are in a position where we might find ourselves against the wall when we need the department to account on certain issues.
Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity once more. I wish to take one point one of the members raised to say perhaps we need to do more work and cooperate with the management before we even come to this level. Because as far as the audit process entails, we conclude the entire management report through engaging with management and agree on the factual findings. The whole issue around 141 findings that were raised, that constitute the entire management letter. As a corporate executive overseeing the portfolio, I'm under the impression that all due processes were followed. Management, together with the audit team, have agreed on those findings. It's a normal process. But as I said, we will take the feedback so that we don't get to deal with the same dynamic next year or in the future. We need to engage closer with management so that we can tackle these disagreements outside. The issue on the bids, I think it's one or two transactions. The team is here to talk to that. But, Chair, let me caution that we'll be getting to the detail of this 141 issues that we have raised. But let me hand over to the team to talk specifically to that contractor.
Let me say, Mr. Msibi, if there are issues that you feel that you cannot share with us in the committee, which is public, tell us so. I was under impression that everything that we are talking about here is something that can be responded to in public. And I would want to hear from you, or just to get more elaboration, when you say we need to, you agree, you need to interact more with the department. Of course, I'm not quoting verbatim, but that's what we're saying, before you come here. And that is exactly what we said last time when we hear you must know that when you bring information to Parliament, more especially when there are different views, we will need evidence. And you are at liberty to say this evidence, Chair, cannot be dealt with in the committee. It's something that can be dealt with outside. But we have said that, so we are repeating it today. But just say to us, where do you think maybe you, in this report, you could have maybe interacted more. And I think I wouldn't want to leave that issue of the leadership, of the political, the political will hanging. Because when you were talking, you referred to, political is not only the minister. You come to us, we are politicians. And Parliament, I don't know the third one, but I think there are three. So I don't really want you to go into details, but you don't want to leave anything, because once you leave one thing one-sided, more especially something that is going to be disadvantageous to the others, leave it hanging. At least something, there must be something that is said. So if you feel that you did not do much engagement, that's why there is disagreement, it must be said, because really, from where we are sitting, I think my colleague has said it, we've seen the difference in terms of the status of the department. We have turned them away on issues where we felt that we need to know how you are going to do this, how you are turning around. We even didn't want this turnaround. That's why DG came with this action plan, because we said we don't want to hear this turning around strategy, because you are turning forever. You are turning forever, but we really want to know how you are going to deal with the issues. So at least tell us. We don't want to get to that detail, which really you don't want to know. Yeah, in all, because they are responding to the findings, all these findings. But just say to us, we needed to do more. Because it doesn't take your report away. Your report is there. We can't change it. But in our own report, we will have to do some comments just to understand. And the DG, the department, after the AG has spoken, where there are issues where you did, maybe you misread the findings, and it's clarified after they have spoken, say so. Because that is also going to help us in crafting our report. It's not one-sided. They have spoken, they might have said things that you did not understand, that it meant this, and therefore you understand. Now, you really have just express yourself so that we really go forward. No one is at court here, but we are all together wanting to, deliver services as much as possible and following the correct procedures. And the compensation fund of today, it can't be the compensation fund of 2 years ago. We all agree. In terms, you tell me if you don't agree, in terms of the processes that have been put there. They used to come here, we'll fight with them. When are you going to remove, throw away these boxes and everything? Now we're told the systems, because they must come and report. You are monitoring that action plan. We don't want them to come at it, because we want to see so that when they derail, then we can put them back on the rail. They must come back. And so far, we have seen that slight process. We have seen people being changed and put other people. So not for the sake of changing, but we must understand where is this department. There is slight, we do understand, my colleague have said, one of them, the problems that are in this department cannot be outdone in 2 years, maybe in 5 years. We don't know. But at least what is there, we should be in a position to say, yes, we see the progress, but you are not yet there. Like you have done, AG, to the productivity essay. You know, when we listen to the productivity essay and look at how they have performed, none of their findings, I mean, they are none of the targets, but at least AG understand and see them that they are going there, you know, did not really go for, you know, they, you know, not really. I don't want you to be mommy, as one of my colleagues is saying, mommy and the child, but at least we should encourage each other. We are all of colleagues at the end of the day, that when there is progress, let's agree there is progress, but you need to do more. And those things, those are things that you are done, you are doing them outside, so that when you come here, your report really, you have an understanding of the background instead of where we are today.
Thanks, Chair. Through you once more. Let me correct my statement. I wasn't implying that less work was done around the audit process. All the processes were followed. We discussed with management, tabled the management report and the audit report through the audit committee. All steps were basically followed. Basically, what I was alluding to was that perhaps both parties, we need to look at where the gap is, because even tabling our report, we are not aware that there would be some level of exceptions or disagreements in certain areas. So I didn't mean that we need to do more work in that aspect, but it's more like engaging with management so that we close this gap, it doesn't happen in future. In reference to the specific question that was raised on the contract that was advertised, I'm not closer to the audit process, how many transactions the teams looked at. That's why I'm saying for that question, let me refer to the senior manager who's responsible to the audit to reflect on that. Thank you.
Maybe let us follow this, because I don't think that is going to help much. Because all we needed is to say, from the auditor, yes, we know you have done well that side. You followed the processes. But there are others which we really don't need the details of them. It's clear, because if they say, unless both the auditor general and the department are not happy with the process that had been followed in the contract, in this contract that they specifically talk about, then maybe you can say, because what I've listened is that one, they have followed certain processes. So you might have used or talking about others, which we really do not need. It's just for you to say, it's not that one. Or if it's that one, there are others. There are certain things that, you know, were not followed properly. Or you can talk about them, but it's important to know, you know. But at the end of the day, these gaps that you're talking, if DG, there are gaps, tell the committee if you think that there are gaps in your meetings. Because the gaps for me would be, it's when you are not getting the feedback, and when you are not giving the feedback, we understand the information. You went into details, but we also heard what the AG is saying on the other side. So these gaps, can we know, so that how do you close this gap, so that the committee then can hold you accountable when you come next time on closing this gap? Because if the closing of the gap is the regular meetings, then that's fine. I don't need the details that the gaps were going to meet on that day, or else the committee now is going to, but at least let's all agree that the gaps, if there are gaps, if you feel, both of you, that there are gaps, so that we pass here. Because to go and answer the questions, I don't know, members, whether you want, because there are questions that have been asked, but I'm sure the AG has taken those questions from the members that have not been answered into consideration. And then when you are formulating a report and when you meet outside and strengthening your work, at least when you come here, something of this nature will not happen. Honorable Sowama.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think this meeting has achieved its purpose. And I'm very, very worried. And Chairperson, I don't know, maybe that's so true. Can I not talk about today? Like now, you were asking the Auditor General, you were saying they must further go into the issue of the beating that I've requested. Then where they were supposed to give the person who might provide that
information. Point of order, and if you heard correctly, I said it's a mistake.
No, I just want to reiterate, so what I was saying is that I agree with you, Chairperson, that maybe they must work with each other. But I think the statement was made by another member of parliament that the lessons have been learned. They must cooperate further. And then we are not here to challenge in any manner the findings that are already made. So it means going forward from here, we shouldn't have the same situation as this.
Is there anything new that is going to be raised? Because where we are now, we just want the undertaking from both of them that there will be nothing of this nature in future. Any other thing that we need to raise? We don't want to have this meeting again. Honorable Sowama? No. Khawula?
Chair, thank you. No, it's not a contradiction to be Sowama. But Chair, perhaps it's to plead with you. Well, the understanding of this meeting for the committee was for us to understand, to get the explanation on AG regarding the findings. And also, obviously with a good spirit, ensuring that going forward we're able to learn from those. And I think any other thing is going to be, I'm not privy to other words, but the point I want to say, Kongi, it's a waste of time, because the reality is that both of them, they are very clear of their mandate and how they should do. But this process has served us for both of them to learn going forward. To get an undertaking from the department and get an undertaking, with or without their undertaking, they have to do what they are required in terms of their mandate. And the AG must play the role as expected. Because we might be creating an impression here that we are trying to massage both of them, that should a similar event or similar findings come, there must be a way of bottlenecking them. So I'm just saying that we have achieved the objective of this meeting to get clarity from the AG. I think let us go forward and make sure that if need be, we adjourn the meeting. And because any other thing, I think it's a repetition that is unnecessary. Thanks, Chair.
Your hand was up, Honorable.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree with the previous speaker. I don't think it would be of any value to get any undertakings from anyone. We want the truth, that's all. We can't get undertakings, especially from the Auditor General. That we can never get an undertaking. They will audit. Come hell or high water, they will audit and they'll be truthful to it. So that we've got to stand by that. And also, I don't think it's worth our while sitting here for unpacking to know what the niceties of some answers. That's not going to help us either. So I would agree that we must now put this behind us and move forward. We've got both the reports. We have to swallow them as they are. Thank you, Madam Chair.
The department, I will still say that we don't want, as the committee, a meeting of this nature, where you can do this thing outside in your own interactions. We don't want to come back here for a meeting of this nature. That's what I'm saying on behalf of the committee. Because if we allow a meeting of this nature again, it's going to be a waste of time. And you know what is that we want. You know what the department is not happy about, and the department is going to check the AG when they are meeting. You are all going to check yourselves as you go forward before you come here, because there's a long process before you come here. It's not like tomorrow. So all these things that you are not happy about, department, make it a point that you interact with that office before the final findings. Because if that is not done, then the same meeting will take place, and this is the meeting that we don't want. At least if we agree on that. That's what I'm saying. That's the undertaking. The undertaking is not going to say on such and such a day is what I'm saying, but you must understand that we really don't want this meeting. It's a waste of time, because we have all the time to deal with these issues. DG.
Chair, we agree entirely with what the committee says. Also, I agree with what AG says. I think where the gap is that at a technical level, we don't interrogate these things as we should. And also must accept, I think Honorable Bahrain put it nicely, that Honorable Ollis put it nicely, that we will agree to disagree. And that's the nature. I mean, if we agree with everything that AG is doing, I think they will also question their, the way they work. I mean, it's if we agree with them, there will be areas where we'll disagree with them. It doesn't mean that we don't value their work, but it's a... We understand our environment, and they come into our environment. So they will always be that, but it must be handled in a professional manner. That's all that we're talking.
Thank you. I think for us, this meeting is fruitful. It might seem to some of us that this meeting was not necessary, but it is necessary because you will know exactly how the committee functions as well. That will be interested. We are not going to, when there are issues raised and not us, we treat you equally. You are all equal in front of Parliament. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
No. The meeting is adjourned.
Sorry, Chairperson, said that I must just announce that do not leave. There is a lunch that was arranged, finger lunch. It's coming now at 12.